This is the Sportscast, October 12th, 2020 AD. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review in all our channels, on iTunes especially. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on DAB, Online Digital Radio. Visit us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter at thesportscast1. And check out our new app, The Sportscast, only for iPhone for now. And you can see all our stories. And, of course, you can listen to the radio and also our past podcasts so you guys can stay up to date and all the malarkey we say. This episode is brought to you by the Sportscast app. You can download the Sportscast app on the iOS App Store. Alabama, or some people might call it Bama, wins against Ole Miss 63-48, making it the highest scoring game in regulation history and SEC football history. Yes, Alabama won, but a lot of the fans were not really happy with the defense. The question marks still linger. Can they match up against bigger teams like Florida and Georgia? But a man that could definitely answer this question, and a man that definitely that goes to Bama-ramas for the weekends, and a guy that has an Alabama email, Stephen M. Smith, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Doing good, Santiago. Happy to be back. I was in Oxford, Mississippi over the weekend. And let's just say that was the most weirdly unexpected, entertaining, crazy game I've been a part of.
It felt very Iron Bowl-ish.
It did. It really did. And going into the matchup, I mean, of course, Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban familiar with each other. Kiffin was at Alabama for 3 years as the offensive coordinator, 2014 through 2016. So there are some things that Alabama does, or a lot of things that Alabama does that he is very familiar with. But you got to give Kiffin a lot of credit. You want to talk about an offensive tactician. He literally had Alabama's defense with no answers to what Ole Miss was going to do. In that matchup, Matt Corral had over 300 yards passing. He was ripping through the secondary. They had two 100-yard backs and Snoop Connor and Jerry On Ealy, of which Kiffin got both of those guys to the edge, got them up and down the field. And then the receiving game, Ole Miss had two receivers over 100 yards. I was literally inside the press box listening to the statistician upstairs, and it was like every other play – the guy was going, well, Ole Miss has broken this record against Alabama. And, well, Ole Miss becomes the first team to do this against Alabama. And, well, this becomes the first time that this Alabama program under Nick Saban has given up this many yards offensively. It was like every other possession, Ole Miss was doing something rather historic on the field despite the rainy conditions. So you got to give Lane Kiffin a lot of credit for really testing – challenging, ripping up this Bama defense quite a bit here. Alabama has got to improve swiftly, fastly. Something's got to happen because this week you're facing a Georgia team that on paper and on the field, this is Kirby Smart's best defensive team, best defensive product he has had since he has been at the helm for the Bulldogs. Offensively for Alabama, Steve Sarkisian has proven he was well worth the extension. I mean, Mac Jones, nobody needs to doubt this young man anymore. This guy is the real deal. More than a placeholder, he is a bona fide quarterback, and he is playing like one. Had a tremendous game, over 400 yards passing, 417 to be exact, two touchdowns, no turnovers. He completed 87.5%. That's just stupid right there. The run game, Najee Harris, a career day, 206 yards rushing, five touchdowns. Alabama has found his complement in Brian Robinson, who had 76 yards rushing, one score. The offensive line did its part. The wide receivers did their job. Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, both over 100 yards receiving. So offensively, Saban is proud with it. Saban is proud with this group offensively, and rightfully so. They have done their part. They've done their job. Defensively is where something's got to happen, and something's going to happen fast because despite the excitement that the offense has provided for Alabama fans out there, where you have been trained for so long to think and believe that, you know, Alabama is defense first, it's defense led, it defense precedes everything, especially when you saw it with Paul Bear Bryant in years past, and Gene Stallings in the 90s, and of course in the earlier years with Nick Saban, it was defense first. When you're trained to see defense first, you'd never want to see the defense take a back seat. If either of the two have to take a back seat, I think Alabama fans would more so want the offense taking the back seat, because it's so conditioned to see defense lead. This is no shot to the offense because they've done a fantastic job, but something's going to change quickly, swiftly, with this defense, with Georgia coming in this week.
Let's look at the defense. It was the most talked about situation. Heard it from Justin, heard it from Twitter, heard it from almost everyone. Even you brought it up. It is led by Dillon Moses. It gave up about 647 yards.
647, man.
Yeah, a whole lot of yards there. This defense also had issues last week. Steven, can this defense be tweaked? I mean, you're going to face Georgia. You're going to, you know, face, you know, tougher teams. There's no Mercers. There's no Citadels coming up.
Can this defense be tweaked,
or this is what you see is what you're going to get and what you're going to see for the rest of the season?
Well, first and foremost, it comes down to, does Coach Saban make a move at defensive coordinator? Because this is what a lot of fans have been speaking about the last 2 years now, and it became even more evident over the weekend as that we all probably saw the fire Pete Golding hashtags surfacing on Twitter in massive, massive numbers. And, you know, for me, I was a huge supporter of Coach Golding when he came in, just due to between 2016 and 2018, there was a mass exodus of coaches and great coaches defensively that were leaving the program. And for a lot of fans, they were concerned about, well, why is this coach leaving? Why is that coach leaving? Do they not want to be at Alabama? What's the concern here? And these coaches would include Kirby Smart, Jeremy Pruitt, Derek Ansley, Mel Tucker, as well as the assistants that were next to them. So Alabama lost a lot of quality, elite, big teachers, big communicators, also big recruiters in terms of coaches on the defensive side of the football. And for Coach Saban, since the departures of those coaches, he has not been able to rebound, right, and land a big, savvy, seasoned veteran name on that side of the football. So he tried to give a couple of young guys an opportunity. He tried to give Tosh LePoy a chance to run the defense in 2018. Of course, unfortunately, that didn't work as Bama lost in the national championship matchup against Clemson. And so now, between 13 games last year and 3 games this year, through 16 games, he's tried to give Pete Golding an opportunity, and so far it has not worked. So the number one thing you have to look at where Saban is concerned starting today, does he look at the defensive coordinator position, reevaluate that, and maybe get somebody else in there to run that side of the football? Alabama did hire Charlie Strong back in the spring as a defensive analyst. Now, there's a challenge there because Charlie Strong, as good as he is as a defensive coordinator, his best years came in the previous decade. He has not coached or coordinated a defense against these types of offenses in this decade. He's been a head coach the last three stints he's had. He was a head coach at Louisville 2010 through 2013 and had some success with Teddy Bridgewater and company. But his last two stops at Texas and South Florida were not as fruitful. Now, from 2006 to 2008 at the University of Florida, big-time defensive coordinator there, where he won two national championships under head coach Urban Meyer. So it's kind of high-risk, high-reward thing when you look at the reputation but is Charlie Strong, but also the risk of, well, he has not coordinated the defense in this decade. So does he still have it? That's the question right there. But the big piece here at Santiago is for Coach Saban this week, does he look at the defensive coordinator position, reevaluate it, and make a move there? Because through 16 games with Pete Golding, you're still seeing the same problems this season that you saw last season.
Pete Golden is the defensive coordinator for Alabama. He's only 36 years old. There is a comment from the Periscope, which is Justin Riley. He asks, how do you account for all those missed tackles, blown coverages, and botched blown coverages and things that the defense have missed?
Okay, so with that, that's twofold for me. That's twofold. And I understand a lot of people are saying, well, you can't put it all on the coach. It's not the coach's fault. It's not all the coach's fault. It's not like the coach can be on the field, you know, in the particular play with those defensive players. And I get that, and I understand that. And some of this is on the players. You've got to be able to tackle. You have to be able to have the right energy, the right motivation, the right drive, the right, you know, want to make those types of plays and want to finish plays. So some things are on the players, absolutely. But also some things are on coaching. When I was in the press box over the weekend, I'm seeing players that are looking lost on the field. I'm seeing players that are constantly looking at the sideline, wondering what the call is, what the formation is, what are we doing. I'm constantly seeing players that don't understand what the read is on the play. They are looking like they're in no man's land out there. And because of that, you are seeing players, you know, take gambles and guess on plays instead of just being, you know, assured of themselves and what they're doing. And when you're seeing that type of action out there, that goes back to coaching, in which you have to ask, is Pete Golden getting the call out there quick enough? Is he making the adjustment quick enough? Is he making the read quick enough? Is the opposing team making checks and making corrections, and Pete Golden is not reacting on the fly fast enough? There was a moment in the game, Santiago, where Nick Saban lost his Kool-Aid. I mean, Nick Saban lost his nuts on the sideline. He literally blew up and went nuclear on Pete Golding on the sideline, giving his famous, you know, butt chewing right there on the sideline. Blew up right in front of Pete Golding because there are some things that Coach Saban saw on the field, and things were not adjusted to properly. Things were not handled properly. Things were not done properly. So yes, I mean, there are some things that are on the players that the players have to take ownership of, absolutely. But when you are seeing guys on the field that don't know where to be, that don't know what the call is, that don't understand where they're supposed to go to on the field, and it parlays itself into, you know, guys not playing confidently and just guessing, then that attributes back to the coaching in, is Pete Golding getting the call out, getting the read out? Is he handling that part of the communication well? So that part goes back onto the coaching aspect.
I do agree with Steven. With a talented defense, and like you were just mentioning, you saw players were confused what to do, what to tackle, what's going on in the field. And a lot of it is the leadership up top. And, of course, Pete Golden been the defensive coordinator since 2018, which explains it, because these past 2 years, defense hasn't been 100%. And there has been talk on Twitter. Alabama supporters been saying, you know, get rid of Pete Golden, things like that. Steve, is this going to happen like this week, or this is just talk? Like, I mean, obviously you're an inside guy, but what are the chances for Pete Golden to get the axe?
Now that could come now in terms of when that could come. I don't know the answer right now. I know this week, I know today Alabama's having a team meeting. Of course, former Alabama defensive lineman Isaiah Buggs tweeted that out there over the weekend on Saturday. You know, after the game, he basically just said, hey, you know, when Alabama has a game like this where it does not play its best football, it does not look its best on the field, those team meetings on Monday are absolutely rough to deal with. So I know for a fact that in years past, the players would have something called a come-to-Jesus meeting. This is not a come-to-Jesus meeting. This is going to be a fire and brimstone type meeting. Coach Saban is going to come in there. He's going to do, 90% of the talking. He may have, a leadership player on the team talk a little bit, but Coach Saban is going to handle 90% of the talking, in which trying to get down to the bottom of what does this team want to do? Like, what are y'all goals right now? Because right now, defensively, we're not hitting on any of the goals that we need to be hitting on. So there's going to be a team meeting with the players. There's definitely going to be a meeting, with the defensive coaching staff this week. So we will see how it goes from there. Saban will be doing some talking. Saban will be doing some cutting, some digging, some finding. What becomes of it, as I get the information, I will do my best to pass that on. But right now, the thing that I do know is there is going to be a lot of conversation, and there's going to be a lot of conversation in meetings this week.
Pete Golden will definitely be brought up, so we'll definitely keep an eye on Coaching M. Smith. I know he's the first to break news from Alabama, and also from his website, Alabama Magazine, TD Magazine. And this weekend, they're playing Georgia. Georgia goes to Tuscaloosa, first time since 2007. What are you looking for towards this game? Of course, Georgia just beat Tennessee 44-21. This is not Ole Miss. This is the real deal. This is a top-tier team. Some people are saying Georgia is number one in the country. But, Steven, give us a preview of what's going to happen this weekend.
A lot of emotion in this game, Santiago. A lot of emotion. When you look at the familiarity on both sides of the ball, when you look at both of these schools recruit against each other, Kirby Smart was under Nick Saban for 9 years. So the familiarity right there of both of these two know each other really, really, really extremely well. And now you add the Scott Cochran effect to it. Cochran was at Alabama as a director of strength and conditioning for 13 years, and now he's at Georgia. So the familiarity on both sides, the emotion on both sides, the Georgia fans are literally looking at Kirby this week going, can you finally pull the trigger, Kirby? You came close to him in the national championship game in 2018 off of 2017, Kirby, and you couldn't close. You came close to him, Kirby, again in the 2018 SEC title game, Kirby, and you couldn't close. Can you finally pull the trigger, Kirby? Can you finally deliver the knockout blow? Like, this is what Georgia fans are literally, pumping into the mind of Kirby Smart right now. Can you deliver the dagger, Kirby, to Coach Saban, as he is 21-0 against his former assistant? Also, Georgia brings in a defense that, on paper and on the field, Kirby's best group since he's been, at the program. I mean, it's number one in a lot of major defensive categories nationally. If it's not number one, it's in the top five. Definitely number one in the SEC in all the major defensive categories nationally. And they're going to look to affect Mac Jones in the pocket. They're going to look to shut down the run game of Alabama. So this is a matchup where when you got a defense that's known for playing extremely good football, Alabama on the defensive side of the football this week, it's got to come with it now. It's got to come with it fast. I mean, after the game against Ole Miss, Coach Saban talked about it. This needs to be the game to wake us up, defensively. This needs to be the game that wakes us up defensively, that has us going in the right direction. This is the game that has to give us that reality check. And for teams that want to push to be great and push to win championships, sometimes you have to have that reality check delivered to you. And Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, even in an Alabama win, Ole Miss delivered that reality check to Alabama's defense in a big-time way on national television. So now, how quickly, how fast does Alabama regroup? Because this is a Georgia defense that's going to look to really slow down, limit the big plays from that Bama offense. This is going to be a very, very intriguing football game, especially with, once again, I mentioned, the people are looking at Kirby, not Kirby. Now is your time. Can you finally pull this trigger? this is going to be an intense game.
Steven, I can't believe I'm saying this, but this could be a winnable game for Georgia.
It literally comes down. To me, I feel like the first quarter is going to tell a lot of its tape. I know games are won in the fourth quarter, absolutely, but I feel like the first quarter is going to tell a lot here, you know, in this football game. Can Georgia establish a run game early? Can Georgia establish a run game early? And in bringing Stetson Bennett into this game, bringing Stetson Bennett, you know, as the starting quarterback into Bryant-Denny, how comfortable is he in that first quarter? Can Alabama get a push to him? If Alabama cannot get a consistent push to Stetson Bennett in the first quarter, it is going to be a game where you are going to be on the edge of your seat for a second consecutive week.
Vegas has the Bulldogs a spread of plus 0.5.
Yeah, so even Vegas is seeing this is an opportunity here, you know, for Georgia, and they see the pressure here that's on, you know, Kirby Smart to get this done, but they also see the pressure here on the Alabama defense to show some life here, some big life here in this matchup. So this will be a game that I will be at. I will be covering. I will have my eyes fully on it. As dynamic as the Alabama offense has been, and I don't want to take any credit away from what Steve Sarkisian, Mac Jones, and this group has done. They have been fantastic, 100%. But this is a week where for what this program has always been built on, and I know times have changed and the game has evolved, I get that. But for what this program has been built on since Coach Saban has been here since 2007, and Saban being a defensive-minded head coach, this is the week where, just as Alabama defense finally stand up. Because I remember when Saban first got here in 2007, among the first things he said was, we are going to give you a program, or we're going to push to have you a program, a product that you can be proud of. And over the weekend, Alabama fans, former players, just people in general, looked at that defensive product. They were not proud of that. They were absolutely horrified, mortified of that product that they saw on the field over the weekend. So this is the week that this Alabama defense does it stand up now and show that, hey, we can still play at an elite level. That's got to happen this week. I expect a fierce, tenacious, kick-in-the-butt type of energy from Nick Saban this week.
And, of course, we could also the sportscast will be talking about it on the Riley and Constant show tomorrow night at 7:45 p.m. Eastern. Time change. Keep that in mind. So they'll definitely go more in-depth with what happened this past weekend and what should Alabama do for this weekend, because it's definitely going to be a bigger game than Ole Miss. Let's look at this past week's SEC scores. Florida lost against Texas A&M 41-38. Steven, what are your thoughts over that match?
Oh man, I was really pulling for the Gators in this game, but you got to give Kellen Mond and Jimbo Fisher some credit here. You take a loss to Alabama, but you get off the mat and you beat a really, really, really good Florida team. My thing is, can A&M keep it going? That's the question right there. But you got to give Jimbo Fish, you got to give Kellen Mond slight props there for getting up off the mat, having an entertaining game against Florida, and finding a way to win that one.
I definitely call him Jimbo Fish as well. LSU beat Missouri 41-45. No, Missouri beat LSU 45-41. Is LSU 0-2? Is that what I'm reading?
LSU is literally 1-2.
1-2. Okay, LSU, yes, that win last week. That's right.
1-2 on the year. This is literally the statement of this is what happens when a season ago everything fell in place. Everything. I'm talking about you had the quarterback that was ready. You had all the talent offensively. You had, you know, two really great coaches in Joe Brady as the passing game coordinator, and Dave Aranda as the defensive coordinator. Everything was right where LSU needed to be last year. And to go from that to you had 14 to 16 players get drafted, including Joe Burrow at quarterback. You lost both of the coaches in Brady and Aranda. You lost so many guys on defense, and you lost players to opt out. And all of this encompassing with each other. And now you're seeing a situation where can Ed Orgeron do the X's and O's? And so far, in bringing in Scott Linehan to run the offense and Bo Pelini to run the defense, it has not worked. It has not worked. I mean, to lose to Mississippi State week one, though granted, Mike Leach, that air raid offense is pretty good right there. Kylan Hill at running back is no joke. But then to turn around and lose to a Missouri team under a first-year head coach in Eliah Drinkwitz. Granted, Missouri's got talent on both sides of the ball, but to lose to a first-year head coach and a team that's trying to build an identity even more for itself, LSU has got to pick up some pieces. They've got to find some answers because this right here is the quickest fall from being national champions to being 1-2.
Rebuilding season, of course, for LSU. The Gamecocks defeated Vandy 41-7.
Good win for South Carolina. Good win for South Carolina and Will Muschamp. I know the Gamecocks and that fan base have been kind of frustrated for a while now about the coach that is Will Muschamp, and can he finally, you know, get that program over the hump to where they can really compete in the East to get to an SEC championship game. I know the AD of the program, Ray Tanner, has been very supportive of Muschamp, but this is a good win, you know, for that program, that team. And you feel for Derek Mason because I feel like Vanderbilt got robbed against A&M. They should have won that game, should have had an opportunity to win that game. And since that matchup, it's been rough there for Vandy. And it's always been rough for Vandy. I hope, you know, they keep hold of Mason. But at some point, they're probably going to look elsewhere.
Georgia defeated Tennessee 44-21. Good margin for Georgia.
Good margin for Georgia. Tennessee, Pruitt, trying to put up a bit of a fight there. But once again, I mean, on paper, this is the best defense that Kirby Smart has assembled, you know, since his time there between the hedges in Athens. And it looks like finally they've got a quarterback to steady the ship there. And in Stetson Bennett, they thought it would be Jamie Newman. He opts out. You thought that JT Daniels would have been cleared to play earlier. He's finally been cleared to play, you know, recently. And then DeJuan Mathis, they got him out there. So he had some struggles, but it just seems like now Stetson Bennett is the guy that's keeping them, you know, afloat right now.
Auburn defeated Arkansas by only 2 points.
I was hurt there. Arkansas had it. Sam Pittman and the Hogs had that game, and it was a really questionable call there at the end. Auburn's found its running back in Tank Bigsby. Don't get me wrong, Tank, that's a big-time running back right there. But Arkansas had that football game. I hurt for Coach Pittman because he coached his tail off. I hurt for Arkansas because they played that game down to the tee. This Arkansas team has got something good for the future.
And finally, Kentucky defeated Mississippi State 24-2. Mississippi State, I had high hopes with Mike Leach, but not panning out as I thought.
Kentucky, I mean, Mark Stoops is a good coach. Mark Stoops is a really good coach, really good defensive coach. My thing with Stoops has always been trying to find the quarterback. I mean, is it Terry Wilson? Could it find it in somebody else? Because, I mean, Kentucky's had strong rushing attacks, strong running backs, the latest one being Benny Snell, of course. They've got the offensive line. They've always had a real solid, strong defense. My thing with Kentucky has always been at some point, it's got to get itself a really big-time quarterback. Or maybe Terry Wilson is the guy. Just got to continue to fine-tune him. But good win there over Mississippi State. And like you mentioned with Mike Leach, after a big win over LSU, You lose to Arkansas, if I'm not mistaken. It lost to Arkansas, and now it takes a tumble here to Kentucky. Mike Leach got to find a way to make those adjustments here. You know, with that offense, got to find a way to make those adjustments there.
There is a learning curve when you enter the SEC. Steven, do you think Georgia could possibly be in the conversation of the best team in the country?
It has an opportunity to be so. It has an opportunity to be so. It comes down to how does it play this weekend against Alabama. As I mentioned, there is a lot on Kirby Smart's mind right there. There's a lot. But for the third straight time, you're going against your former boss, your former employer. This is the third time you're facing somebody that you were under for 9 years. You know him more than most people. Can you finally beat him? That's been going through Kirby's mind. It's been going through his family's mind. Most definitely, it's been in the papers. So people have been talking about it all over Georgia, of course, all over Alabama, all over the SEC. It's the third time Kirby Saban. Can Kirby finally do it? And he's got to put together, you know, a game plan to ensure himself that he can, you know, get this done. So it comes down to, can one of Saban's assistants and the one that's been with him the longest in Kirby Smart at this point, can Kirby pull this out?
And definitely be a conversation if they do beat Alabama this weekend. Predictions, Monday Night Football, Steven, Chargers at the Saints. Who do you got?
Oh, man, okay. I like what Justin Herbert's doing at quarterback right now. Saints have kind of had a interesting, weird sort of tailspin with the offense. So I think it's got it back on track here recently. Give me New Orleans slightly. I still like the mind of Drew Brees. Even with the talent that is Justin Herbert, I still like the mind of Drew Brees and Sean Payton with an Alvin Kamara to still get this done.
And tomorrow, the Buffalo Bills at Tennessee Titans tomorrow, Tuesday Night Football.
As much as I'm a Derrick Henry guy, as much as I'm a Derrick Henry guy, give me the Bills in this one. McDermott has done a phenomenal job, not only with this defense, but Josh Allen is playing ball. Josh Allen looks like a young Ben Roethlisberger right now. And the connection with him and Stephon Diggs has been spot on. Give me the Bills.
MVP Josh Allen season. We'll see what happens. And poll question of the day, Steven, what is your favorite soup? What is your favorite soup? Is it tomato soup, gumbo, cream of mushroom, or the old colds, when you get a cold, chicken noodle soup?
Know what? Gotta go with the old faithful, man. Gotta hit that chicken noodle soup with the soda on the side, baby. Chicken noodle soup with a soda on the side.
That's not a bad combo. I gotta try that.
That was actually a dance back in the early 2000s, the chicken noodle soup dance. So shout out to the former artist, Young B, who put out that song, I think back in 2006, 07, 1 or 2. But, yeah, chicken noodle soup there, good soda on the side. Gotta love that.
Chicken noodle soup is winning at 65%, tomato soup 20%, gumbo at 10%, and cream of mushroom at 5%. You go to our Twitter at the Sportscast1 to vote because you only got 12 hours left. Steven Smith, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Georgia and Bama this weekend?
Well, absolutely. People can reach me on Twitter at Coaching M. Smith on Twitter. That's again at Coaching M. Smith on Twitter. I can also be found on Facebook, Stephen M. Smith on Facebook, Stephen M. Smith there. They can reach me via the magazine also, Touchdown Alabama magazine. That's on Twitter at TD Alabama Mag on Twitter at TD Alabama Mag on Facebook. That is Touchdown Alabama Magazine on Facebook, and on the site itself is touchdownalabama.com. That is touchdownalabama.com, the actual website. As we will be diving out a litany of content throughout the week as Nick Saban takes on Kirby Smart.
You can't go wrong with that. Make sure you follow Steven on Twitter. Also, question from the comments. Do you think that this last performance hurt grades for the NFL draft, like Moses, Surtain, and Ray? Do you think it'll hurt them in the draft?
And as I'm right now diving into, you know, restructuring my draft projections for the week, I don't think Dylan Moses drops out of the first round, but right now, I do that performance, I can see him out of the top 10 or out of the top 15 at this point, because, I mean, with him, I mean, though he led the team with 13 tackles, if I'm not mistaken, there are still, you know, a lot of plays that he missed out there on the field. In terms of Patrick Surtain, defenses so far have not been really, really challenging him as much. They've been going after Daniel Wright at the safety position more so than Patrick Surtain. So I look at Surtain a bit more. Really want to see this defensive line get more of a push up front. That's the group, you know, I'm kind of looking at, especially with, you know, some veteran experience in LeBron Ray and DJ Dale and Christian Barmore up front. So that's the group that I'm kind of a bit more disappointed with so far, is those guys not getting that consistent push up front to affect the pocket. So that's the group I'm looking more so at.
Definitely. I think it's a small sample size, but we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks, because there's a lot more college football ahead of us and playing some great teams. So we'll see if these grades go up to maybe an A. That's always the hope for Alabama. Anyways, you can reach us at the SportsCast1 on Twitter or on our website, the Sportscast, thesportscast.net. And definitely read our latest articles. The Lakers won last night. LeBron got his fourth championship. So definitely a lot of history being made last night. And, of course, this week we got a lot going on with the NFL shuffling their schedule. So definitely keep an eye on that. So far, college football has no issues or cases yet. So things are kind of rolling smooth. Stephen Smith, thanks for coming on. Great show.
Absolutely, man. Always a joy to do this. Always fun to do this, man.
Stephen Smith, he's becoming a regular at the Sportscast. Anyways, Roll Tide.